thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And look who's here.
It's Dane Neal, Wendy. That's who it is. Hi, Dane.
Our friend, yeah. Dane Neal.
Yes. Our looky, friend. Looky.
Nice to see you.
Looky here.
Those are some of my old dancer enticements back when I needed the money.
Dane, I know what today's topic is, and this couldn't be more timely. You wanted to come on and talk about school lunches, the history of school lunches, and how they've changed over the years.
Well, you think about this. With all the advancements we have, you know, look at what your cell phone can do. We can land on Mars. We can. Mm-hmm. We got world peace. We've got all those things. You think we would have figured out a way to get over the whole lunch, the school lunch thing, but it hasn't happened. You know, there's still this thing that happens during the day where kids get hungry and then they want to go ahead and eat. And so
dare they?
Right.
Yeah, selfish.
I always love those stories when we think of things that we kind of live and have as part of what it is that we're doing today. And we think, oh, well, this, it was always this way, and it wasn't. So I've taken the liberty to go back into the history machine and the school lunches throughout the ages.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yes. So back in the 1900s, at the turn of the century,
yeah.
Usually you'd bring something from home, maybe a morsel of bread in an old... Right. Handkerchief or something like that, and right. and a case.
So sad.
Think about it. Don't,
I know.
And you'd split it with every kid in your class. You'd have to share that.
There was a lot of communal eating, and I guess the teachers, you know, if they were kind of the good teachers, you knew that your teacher was stepping up when they'd have some sort of like a communal stew that they would administer to the kids. Could you
see
that?
Sound good?
Like, well, because there's always, you know, it's, it takes.
Is that a shoe in my stew? Well, it takes
a village, you know. And all the kids are different. There's always a couple kids that are kind of, you know, always sniffling, and
sure.
You just think you're all eating the same
food.
But
no food allergies, I bet, back then.
I don't think there were.
Well, because kids, everyone, I think, only lived to be about 35.
Yeah, the life expectancy
good point.
Was low.
Right, and if you wouldn't notice an allergy because you're busy tending right. Your severed limb from the punch press that you were changing.
You're making
and,
me hungry.
Yeah, and so now school lunch kind of started back in the 1910s, and this was sort of in New York, 3 cents. And here's the thing, too, is the foods that they had, there wasn't any marketing in the kind of the food world, and they also just sound to me, they sound depressing. So it was like pea soup, lentils, rice, and a piece of bread.
That was it.
Yes, right. And then for an extra penny.
Basic Oliver fare.
I mean, even think about it.
Right? Who wants more gruel?
At least it was warm, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, rice pudding and then stewed prunes.
For dessert? Well,
if
you had an
regular.
Extra penny. Yeah, if you had an extra penny, you want
the deluxe?
Want to go big.
Biggie size it. That
I love rice pudding
size.
To this day.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, sure. And the stewed prunes just never caught on, right?
Sadly.
They need a better lobby group. Then at like Miami, Florida, like parents, here's another thing too. So parents would get together and they would donate the meat and potatoes and then they would make a stew at the school.
Yeah.
But it was all donated from, just think about like the waiver forms you'd need to sign today.
Right.
And that was for all week? Yourself. Like that stew would last all week?
Well, I'm just thinking like you couldn't even, I don't know that you could even do quality control. And like let's say, you know, one family donates. Because they're probably donating stuff that they're maybe going to get rid of.
Yeah, I would think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Tainted meat?
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yep. Tainted meat.
The 20s brought on kind of the advent of the hot lunch.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then what you had was still things that I think sound boring and kind of depressing, like boiled meat and creamed vegetables with a piece of bread.
Were these in schools or prisons?
Yeah, schools.
Schools?
These are schools. Then after that, home ec started. So they started thinking to themselves, well, these are bad ideas. Let's teach the kids to make the food.
Oh.
And that's what started the first cafeteria.
Yeah.
Is they would teach the, you know.
Really?
Fortunately, because we had sort of kind of gender roles that were more rigid at the time. And so they would teach the girls in home ec. And then they would start the cafeteria.
Well, they had to wait for the invention of the hairnet before they could invent a cafeteria.
I don't think
that came the same year.
Just like right. Just like allergies that may have been rampant but undetected. Same
right.
with the
undocumented.
Hair.
Yeah.
Yep. Same with the hair. The 30s with the Great Depression. Now you'd think that that would mean less food or worse food, but actually that was one of the things that the government could do. So they funneled their money into school lunches.
Oh, did they?
And you saw a lot better nutrition for the kids in the schools during the Depression.
And a lot more cheese.
Yeah, I bet.
You'd get a brick
I would
of
imagine.
Cheese.
Right?
Well, like butter, beef, pork, you know, some fruit and things like that. In the 50s is when you had a lot more of the, you know, you have lunch boxes coming in.
Right.
You have government programs coming in, $415 million. And then you had a lot of companies coming in and trying to get involved in the.
In the 50s?
Yep, in the 50s. See,
and the food was served by waitresses on skates.
Mostly.
Because it was the 50s.
With, you know, with catchy music.
Right.
Kind of rebellious tunes playing
in the
background.
A lot of Bill Haley in the background.
Yep. Now, in the 60s, this is where. Now, this is the kind of thing you always think. So, our kids, like nowadays, when they're having a fun lunch or whatever, it's they get pizza. Or what, but the 60s was the first time that they had foods that were once considered ethnic foods.
Oh.
Like pizza. and an enchilada in the exotic chili con carne.
Oh. Right, how global.
Yeah, you're it's
and
like
then,
Epcot.
And it is. You see kind of the advent of things that we see today. Well, we don't see as much of the peanut butter. We'll get to that because obviously
the allergies.
Butter, yeah, peanut butter is pretty much illegal. But fish sticks with tartar sauce and things like that. And then you had 1966, the Child Nutrition Act, where they had that. Now, I know you guys have talked about it. We brought it up as well in the 70s. The schools were thinking, like, the fast food chains were really super efficient. And so they were bringing in KFC, and they were actually bringing in McDonald's.
I think doing that? Not my school.
Our school, one day, when you were gone and Dane was filling in for you, I told a story about how one day a month we had hot dog day or sometimes hamburger day. And on hamburger day, they would bring in McDonald's because we could see the truck from McDonald's by our side, by the side entrance. But then they would take the McDonald's wrappers off and put them in... like a tin foil.
Oh, my God. So,
but we knew, I mean, we all had McDonald's. We knew they were McDonald's. I don't understand why they were masquerading it.
I don't see the point of that
it's
either.
It's crazy.
In fact, I think people would be more excited. At least the kids of the time and probably of today as well. But then after that, after the whole fast food thing, then there's a pendulum. It swings back and then say, like, okay, well, nutrition is really bad and everybody's getting unhealthy and things like that. The 80s brought up things like Lunchables that our kids still eat.
That aren't that healthy. Come on.
No, not they're really. Terrible.
They're just easier for the parents.
Right.
And the kids always want the nacho one, which all it is like super salty chips and in a packet of sauce.
Yeah.
But things like chicken nuggets didn't exist before. Chocolate pudding.
Snack pack was around when I went to school.
Yeah.
That was chocolate pudding.
Yeah.
And that was elementary school.
Right.
So that was what?
70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been the 80s. You never know, right?
So 60s, I don't
know
that they 65, had them.
In, did they serve those in your school, or you had to bring your own?
Well, you brought them from home. Our schools didn't have any hot lunch. Junior high, but not elementary school.
Okay,
ever.
And you saw fruit roll-ups, which I remember when those first came out, and you saw those in the 80s, and it was kind of space age. It was like technology. How can we do this? It's actually fruit. Capri Suns, you know, your box juices, and then in the 90s, you saw more food service companies getting in there, and you saw like everything. In a pouch and a bag and all that kind of stuff.
It became standardized.
Yeah, in the last 20 years or so, people have kind of been veering away, trying to get more healthy alternatives.
Yeah.
You don't see as many, soda machines, and they're trying to build in the fruit and some of the healthier stuff. But before, it was just like, well, what can we do to kind of give them food?
Yeah.
Then once they were eating food, it's like, well, what can we do to give them the fastest food that they'll like? And then now we're kind of like...
So instead of a soda machine now, what will a school have there as your beverage options if there's no... Because we always had your standard, Coke and Fanta and, Mr. Pibb.
In high school, though, right?
In high school, not in grade school.
Yeah, I think the ones that they have now, and this has already happened, I don't know that there are a lot of soda vending machines in schools now. It's probably juice and maybe water if they've got it.
I guess so.
Some healthy options and things like that, but then
Zima?
That's alcohol.
You've got the Zima? In the day, of course, we have Bartles and James in California.
Yeah, of course. That was standard. Every school had that. All right, we'll take a break and then more lunch discussion with Dane Neal. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Up in the morning and out to school.
It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. And our guest, Dane Neal.
Woo-hoo.
From On the Road with Dane Neal. Heard weekends here on WGN Radio. We're talking about school lunches because school is coming back. It was already back.
It's how do you guys feel about that? There are some people that
sad.
Are like, well, because, there's a little bit of that. And then there's also like, well, wow, the whole summer thing, you think of it as a kid is, it's a time to kick back, relax,
sure.
have some fun. But for parents, it's kind of a lot of work. There's a lot of extra stuff or just different stuff to do.
Yeah.
When your kids get older, like I have high school and college, it's easier when they're in school or in the summer because you don't have to worry about when they get up. When school starts, it's like it's back to stress.
It's a grind.
It really is.
Because you got to get up, make lunches.
Mm-hmm.
This is like
you make lunches. You're a good daddy.
Yeah. Well, you got to. Otherwise, I don't know. There's a hotline somewhere.
Can I ask you, Dane? You always see this on TV shows or movies whenever they show a kid's school at lunchtime. There's always a lot of trading of things, of items. I don't remember that happening when I was in school, kids trading lunches. Did that happen much?
I don't know that I had anything worth trading for.
Yeah,
so
me
maybe,
neither. So an occasional ho-ho or ding-dong.
That's about it.
Well, then you're living. Yeah. You can keep those close to the vest because you know, people don't want those. But yeah, I've heard that. In fact, I was going to bring that up, that there is a lot of that. And I'm trying to think of what are the reasons why there's such a lockdown on the peanut situation, because you can't even have a Snickers bar or certainly like a
Schools
Reese's.
Won't allow you.
You are not supposed
because to. Because so many kids have the allergies,
if for some reason. Well, I don't know if so many kids do. You got to think there's got to be some critical mass, right, where it's like it isn't just a rare thing with John Travolta has running around in a bubble. So
yes,
there, but I think there's enough kids, and I think that the reactions are serious enough. There's one kid at our kid's school that had got in touch with a peanut somehow, right? He certainly didn't eat the peanut, but something he had in it, or maybe he was trading with some of the other kids, and they had to EpiPen him. You know, it was it was a serious deal. So I don't know that that maybe that's the reason, because of the trading, but it happens all the time. Yeah, they kind of. Like, our kids will come home with all sorts of different stuff that's, like, half-eaten. Like, we didn't give you this. And
really?
They just kind of, like, I think, I don't know if they throw everything in the middle and just sort of trade it. Or they've got friends that they just kind of, like, hey, I'll take your thing for this.
Yeah, maybe.
So I don't know. So they're content with the items that they hate that we give them because they know there's some street value.
Oh.
And with the peanut butter thing, when my kids were at junior high and elementary school, they brought peanut butter pretty much every day. And someone said, how dare you do... The school would have informed me if there was someone with some kind of peanut allergy, because no one said a word. And now I guess, you know, if you send them with peanut butter, you're devil.
A bad person.
They put you, they've got like a Hurt Locker suit, a couple different sizes, and then they put you in that, and then you're no, this is actually serious, not the suit, is they put you in a segregated separate room by yourself.
Is that true?
It is absolutely the truth. Yep, you gotta
really.
You've got to go in a separate place where you cannot be a danger to everyone else.
Let's say you're having lunch at your desk and you've got peanut butter throughout the day. New kids come into the classroom for the different classes. Couldn't there still be some sort of a scent or something of the peanuts or some trace of peanut butter?
Yeah, you're describing some of the risks.
That probably happens, right?
Yeah.
And some kids have it so bad that even just in the air, they go into anaphylactic shock, seriously. Yeah. And others need to actually ingest it to have issues.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Well, okay. So
peanut butter's not that good anyway, people.
Wendy.
It's really not.
Where are you getting your peanut butter? It's
I'd
so
much
good.
Prefer the Oscar Mayer bologna. Or do you say bologna?
No, peanut butter's way better. Mm-mm. Way, way better.
Well, for those things that aren't deadly, but people like them, but typically they're not healthy, they're coming up with some new things at the kids, or the school nutrition council meeting that they
Puffer fish? Is that still okay to have
it? It's okay with a little paralysis of the jaw or whatever, you're good. So they've got things like raisins. Raisins have long been, you know, the box, the red box.
Sure.
It's got the lady on the front with, I think, a big like bowl of raisins, right? And underwhelming. No one's excited about raisins. People turn their nose up at them. So they've decided to make them more exciting. So they've got Raisel Sours. And I think the thing is combination of crazy flavors. Kids love that stuff. And then make things incredibly sour, right?
Do they sugar it up? Is that what they're doing?
Well, the sugar would be artificial sugar that we won't realize causes cancer for decades, Bill. But it's like orange burst, watermelon shock, and chili limon pineapple.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the raisins. But here's the great thing is they don't taste like raisins. But apparently
not at all.
Well, that's the upside.
Do you remember? I don't know if they still make these, but craisins, which were cranberry raisins.
Sure.
Do you remember those?
Yeah. Not tart enough for me. If you want,
you want them more tart?
Yeah.
Well, because you think nerds or Sour Patch Kids,
right?
You taste those and
immediately
it's like you know, it's like your head
explodes. That's like a sugar blast.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Well,
sugar
they're trying
on
to do something similar. Kids like that kind of flavor profile, but here they are giving them something that's not unhealthy.
Yeah.
But you've got to dress it up with the names because raisin
doesn't sell it.
Raisin doesn't. You gotta sell the raisins.
Sorry, California raisins.
Exactly. Well, right. They had a mascot. Those guys have aged out, right?
Yeah.
On the chip side, so instead of potato chips, kids love chips. You've got these dried apple crisps, which I guess are very good.
I've seen those. They're good.
And somewhat.
They're not like a potato chip.
No, but it's like it's somewhere
it's in
the
that
middle.
Family, right? Gives you a little crunch with your bologna sandwich,
right,
which is still okay.
Yeah.
Then jerky. Jerky's very popular. So people love jerky. Kids love jerky. So they've made a low, it's a minimum sodium. Fits with all of those kind of regulations. Maybe have chicken as the meat instead of the beef, and it's good for the cake.
Or turkey jerky.
I love saying that, too.
That's fun to say.
Jerky's a really good snack.
Yeah.
It really is.
People like it, right? So it's fun for kids. Plus, they've made it less unhealthy because it's got a lot of sodium. It's real salty. So dried meat and beef jerky, and beef and turkey on the dried meat side. So just, you know, you want your meat, let's just dry it.
Yep.
Right? It makes it easier, I guess.
Sure, of course.
And then you got the brownies and brookies and things like that, but now they're all made with whole grain.
Brookie being a brownie cookie?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's like a cookie inside of a brownie.
Oh.
So you think it sounds, look at you, right?
Mm.
You're like, I'm intrigued.
That's the Jewel has had them for a while. They're
do they?
Good,
I've never had one.
Bill's like, go on. but what Bill doesn't know is that they're whole grain now and less bad for you. Yeah, but that's
probably.
Can I
still get the old kind that are bad for me?
No, you just put that in fine print, and I'm sure it doesn't taste terrible. Now, here's the thing. So peanut butter, for all those people that like peanut butter or want peanut butter, or think of it really as kind of an easy, as a parent, you know, sandwich to throw together. It's not like a Reuben or something, right?
Right.
It's peanut butter. It's Wow butter. It's peanut-free spread. So it gives you all the things, at least I'm guessing.
What are they using instead of peanuts to create that flavor?
Space-age copolymers, Bill. No.
We're not allowed to know?
Well, chickpeas is one of the things that they'll use. Yeah. I'm sure they're able to, like, food scientists of the world are
making... Didn't you have a chickpea and jelly sandwich yesterday?
No. I can promise you I did not.
Not on purpose, right?
No.
A chickpea or nutter?
Yeah. But who would taste a chickpea and thinks that it tastes like peanut butter? There's no way.
Well, they flavor it differently.
I think it's the consistency is similar, so if you like that. And then, you know, they could make anything taste like anything.
Really?
Hummus butter.
So tasty.
And then yogurt. Yogurt is big, so yogurt is kind of boring. But then, of course, you throw some fruit in it. Kids like yogurt, and then what they do is they either freeze it in tubes or you kind of make it into sort of a shake.
Right.
So you're still getting your yogurt. And then there's usually an animated character on the side.
Yeah, oh, then I'm in. Okay, that was easy.
Then you are certainly
sold, no matter what it is.
Yep. And then smoothies and different, like, fruit juice boxes, but they've got the blends of the... So instead of apple juice, right,
which
everybody turns down, you've got different flavors. So strawberry lemonade, raspberry watermelon, pineapple, cherry orange, all together.
That sounds good.
Sounds
very good.
Yeah, maybe.
A really quick question or comment, rather, from Cheryl. Cheryl, your kids can get what for their hot lunches now?
Well, actually, it's the district that I teach in. Every Friday, they have a hot lunch, and the kids can order sushi.
Wow.
Things have changed.
Dramatically.
And I'm really surprised, too, because it's an elementary building. So this is first through fourth graders.
Wow.
So, and the kids eat it?
They have sushi. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
They order
it voluntarily. It's their choice. But I was also going to say about the peanuts, there are peanut-free tables in the cafeteria. So it's not like the kids are... like completely segregated in another room.
Oh, okay, that's
and
better.
And they're really good with the Clorox wipes, like wiping tables down before and after. And yeah, they manage it pretty well. So
all right.
Kids can still bring peanut butter. It's not totally forbidden.
Oh, okay.
And they handle it really carefully. But yeah, so it is a far cry from the rectangle pizza I used to get it.
I loved that with the orange cheese.
Yeah.
So good.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks. Thank you. Dane, thank you. Great to see you. That's Dane Neal. He can be heard this weekend at what time?
2:00.
2:00.
Sharp.
On the road with Dane Neal. Thanks, Dane.
Yeah, thanks.
Some news is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.